says. So the Gemara says the following. Remember, we left off four lines up from the bottom. We were dealing with Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. So the Machlokis was about how to darshan the pasuk from Miluim. Rabbi Yochanan learned out that he only learned out L'chaper, Elu Ma'ase Yom Kippurim. So Rabbi Yochanan only understood that from the Miluim, only came the reference to Yom Kippur, whereas Reish Lakish learned out both Parah Aduma as well as Yom Kippur from it. So the Gemara left off by saying, four lines up from the bottom, Amarlei, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, Elamar Mehecha Yalifla. So we'll say again what Reish Lakish wants. So the Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, so where do you learn out the concept of sequestration preparation from? Meaning Reish Lakish was saying it clearly can't be learned out from the Miluim. Why not? Because Reish Lakish actually advanced a very interesting argument. Reish Lakish says that by the Miluim we know that anything that happened at the Miluim was Ma'akev. If you did not have it, then ultimately it would compromise the service. And yet, Reish Lakish makes a diak from our Mishnah that must not be the case by Yom Kippur. Why? Because he pointed out by the scan that the Mishnah says that they would appoint a scan, an assistant Kohen Gadol, to ultimately serve as a backup, and yet the Mishnah makes no reference of sequestering that particular Kohen. So therefore, the Gemara says the fact that the Mishnah doesn't make any mention of that would indicate that it didn't happen. The fact that it didn't happen would indicate that it's not a necessary procedure for the Yom Kippur process, which then says that Yom Kippur is not like the Miluim, because by the Miluim, anything that was necessary was ultimately an indispensable part of the process, and failure to do so would compromise the Avodah. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, Elamar Mehecha Yalavlas, to tell me, Reish Lakish, where do you learn out the concept of sequestration preparation from? Amar, he said, Mis Sinai. I learned it out from Har Sinai. What happened by Har Sinai? V'chsev Vayishkon Kivot Hashem Al Har Sinai. Because the Torah says that literally the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Har Sinai. V'ichaseu ha'anam sheishas yamin. V'yikra el Moshe v'yom ha'shvi'in. So what happens? The Torah says that the cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. And God called out to Moshe on the seventh day. So says the Gemara Michti, or says Reish Lakish Michti, Ksiv v'yikra el Moshe v'yom ha'shvi'in. It says that God called out to Moshe on the sixth day. My sheishas yamin. So what does it mean when it says that there were 6 days? Zeh bonav. People say binyan av means that sometimes the Torah will state something not just for informational purposes, but in order to create a paradigm. So this suggests Reish Lakish is a paradigm. What's the paradigm? Shekala nichnas b'machane shechina ta'un prisha shisha. Prisha shisha. What's the paradigm? The paradigm is that whenever you are going to come to machane shechina, whenever you are going to come into the camp of God, you require a prior separation, sequestration, preparation for 6 days. So Gemara says that's very nice, but v'ha'anan shivatnan. That's nice, but our Mishnah spoke about 7 days of sequestration preparation. There's someone who says, oh, Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who says what? Dechayish tap of Dalit l'tumas beso. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is choshish for tumas beso. What's tumas beso? Look at Rashi. Tumas beso. Shema im yizakik l'ishto. V'tira dam b'shas biya. V'nimtza tamei shivas yamim kimishpat bo'amida. We'll say, here's the possibility. There's a possibility that the night before the Kohen is sequestered, he'll be with his wife. And in the event that she would become a Nida in the midst of relations, which it's a reality that could occur, and in the possibility that she would become a Nida in the midst of relations, what would happen? But a man who has relations with a Nida, by definition, becomes Tameh for 7 days, which then means that Lamaisa, you have a situation where the Kohen would not be able to do the Avodah. So really, Reish Lakish is suggesting Me'ikar Adin, sequestration preparation is only 6 days. That's Me'ikar Adin. But because Rabbi Yehuda has this concern that his wife may become a Nida in the midst of relations, therefore we tack on that seventh day, so essentially we're covered no matter what. I'm really Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, 1 second. Bishlam di'alfina mimiluim. So we'll say, what it now comes down to is, fundamental machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish is the following. Everybody's going to agree that there's a sequestration preparation period. The shaila is, where do you learn it from? So Rabbi Yochanan is going to learn it from the Miluim, like we've been saying this entire time, and Reish Lakish is going to learn it out from Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, Bishlama ledidi di'alfina mimiluim, hainu ditanyo, ze veze mazin alav kol shiva, mikol chatos shahayusham. So the Gemara says the following. So now, according to me, I understand this. According to me, who learns that from Miluim, so it makes sense. Zev zeh. We'll say, if you look at zeh zeh, Rashi says, zeh zeh, koin de mikipor, mikoin de para. both the kohen before Yom Kippur and the kohen before Parah Aduma, they would sprinkle on him all 7 days, mikol chataos shahayu sham. So it's actually very interesting that when they used to do a Parah Aduma, they would never use up all of the ash. They would always keep some of the ash. We actually saw this in Shkalim as well. That's one of the miracles that occurred was that the ash of the Parah Aduma of Moshe Rabbeinu was never used up. There was always some part of it remained. So what they would do is when preparing the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur before Parah Aduma, what they would do is they would sprinkle on him from the ashes of the previous Paros Adumos every day of the 7 days. So the Gemara says, Dahavi Nami Hazoa B'Miluim. And that makes sense. Why? Because the sequestration preparation of the Kohen Gadol is modeled after the sequestration preparation of the Miluim. And just like by the Miluim, ultimately there was a sprinkling of Parah Aduma ashes each day. So to by Yom Kippur Parah Aduma will be the same. However, Ela Ledidach, but according to Reish Lakish, Dialfis Misinai, but according to Reish Lakish, who learns out sequestration preparation from what Moshe Rabbeinu did at Har Sinai, Hazoa B'Sinai Mihavi, was there any sprinkling of Moshe Rabbeinu? It was written naturally in Moshe Rabbeinu. Was there any sprinkling on Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai? Amar Lei, and Reish Lakish responds, Lo Tameich, according to your reasoning, Minecha, is it a good comparison between Yom Kippur and Miluim? After all, B'Miluim Dam, Hachamayim. Miluim, it's true, they sprinkle the Kohen Gadol every single day. What do they sprinkle him with? Blood. And now you're going to now sprinkle him before Yom Kippur and before Parah Aduma with water. To which Rabbi Yochanan says, no, hala kasha, that's not a kasha. The Tani Rabbi Chiya, nichnesu mayim tachas dam. Because Rabbi Chiya said, Rabosai, that post Miluim, we replace the sprinkling of blood with the sprinkling of water. Says the Gemara, ela ledidach, Hazoa b'Sinai mihavi, but according to you, Reish Lakish, was there any hazoa? Was there any sprinkling done at all? So we'll say what's happening over here is Rabbi Yochanan is challenging Reish Lakish based on the fact that if you're going to tell me that the sequestration preparation period of Yom Kippur comes from Har Sinai, then it's supposed to resemble Har Sinai. But yet there are a lot of things that we do in sequestration preparation before Yom Kippur that don't resemble Sinai at all and more resemble Miluim. To which the Gemara says, Reish Lakish finally says, Ela ledidach hazoa b'Sinai mihavi, amrlei maila ba'alma. To which Reish Lakish says, you're right. The truth is this idea that we sprinkle the Kohen Gadol with the waters of the Parah Aduma on the days before the service is a maila ba'alma. It's a chumrah. It's not necessary, but it's something that we do. Okay, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's actually right across Rashi. Ma'alav alma bepara kidaminon ubiyom kipurim lechvod knisas machanish. Okay, so according to Reish Lakish would say that by Parah Aduma, it's just simply a chumrah. By Yom Kippur, it represents a preparation for going into the machanish shechina. But I will say again, machlokis still stands. So which the Gemara says, Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan, Tanya kavasi de Reish Lakish. So we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan, and again, Rabbi Yochanan is learning out sequestration preparation from Miluim, and a brisa that supports Reish Lakish, who is learning out sequestration preparation from Har Sinai. Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan. There's a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. What does the brisa say? Bizos yavo Aaron el Hakodesh. Remember, the Torah says this is an achrei, this is in the kriya of Yom Kippur. Literally, with this, Aaron will come into the Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Bema sha'amor be'inyon. What is it? No, so what the Gemara is going to ask is, Bezos means what? With this, with what? What are we referring to over here? Oh, we're referring to that which was stated in the other topic. That which was stated in the other topic. So what does that mean? We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Bezos. So we'll say, you don't really need it to say bizos. That's an extra word. So what does it mean? With this, Aaron will enter into the Kodesh. So the Gemara is dashing. Bizos refers to another body of law. With this other body of law, will Aaron enter into the Kodesh? Maihi, right? What other body of law are we talking about? To which the Gemara says, Be'inyon demiluim. Oh. The Bezos refers to the laws of the Miluim. And I will say, what does that mean? What that means is just as there was sequestration preparation, and only then did Aaron enter into the service of the Kohen Gadol by the Miluim, so too, Bizos Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. With that same process of what? Sequestration preparation for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, only after that process may Aaron enter into the Kodesh. Uma Omer Be'inyon Miluim. And what exactly was said by the Miluim? Aaron Piresh Shiva Bishime Shom Echad. Aaron was sequestered for 7 days and he served for 1 day. Umoshe Masrlo Kol Shiva Kedei Lechancho Ba'avoda. And what happened during those 7 days of Osai? Moshe Rabbeinu, right, his younger brother, was his tutor for the Avoda. He sat and he learned with him for all 7 days to teach him what to do. Va'af Ledoro, so too for future generations. We'll also listen to this. Well, they're going to describe this in greater detail as the Gemara goes on. Kohen Gadol Porish Shiva. The coin is separated for 7 days. Umeshamish Yom Echad. All for 1 day of service. Ushnei Tamidei Chachamim Mitamidav Shamosha. And two great Torah scholars who are of the students of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, so what does it mean, the students of Moshe Rabbeinu? We're all the students of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it means it's two great Tamidei Chachamim. La'afuke Tzedukim. To exclude Tzedukim. Because remember, Abba said, we'll see later on, that Tzedukim ultimately had a different avoda of Yom Kippur because they did not believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Mosrin lo kol shiva kedei lechancho ba'avoda. They went ahead. They would go ahead. They would be given over to him. Mosrin lo kol shiva kedei lechancho ba'avoda. They would go ahead and be given over to him all 7 days in order to properly educate him in avoda. Mikan amru. From here we see shivas yomim kodim yom kippurim for 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeso Lelishkas Parhedrin. They would separate the Kohen Gadol from his home and they would put him in the Lishkas Parhedrin. Ukishem Shemafrishin Kohen Gadol. In the same way they would separate a Kohen Gadol. Kach Mafrishin Kohen Hasoreth Es HaPara Lelishka Sha'apene Habira Tzafon Mizracha. And the same way they would separate out the Kohen Gadol, they would also separate out the Kohen who was going to do the Paraduma, and they would take him to what we call, remember the name of that Lishka? What was it called? Lishkas Habanim or Lishkas Beis Ha'Eved. Good. Also, that was 2 days ago. Come on, people. Yeah, what about you? I'm happy you got it. All right, so says the Gemara. So, and they would also do the same process for the coin for the Paraduma. And they would separate him out to a lishka, to a chamber that was on the northeastern side of the Beis Hamikdash. Also, remember, we saw Bira can mean one of two things. Either Bira is actually the name of a certain area of the Beis Hamikdash, or Bira is just the general name for the Beis Hamikdash. And both this one and that one, meaning the Kohen Gadol for Paraduma and the Kohen or the Kohen for Paraduma and the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, Mazin Alav Kol Shiva, they would sprinkle on him from the ashes of the Paraduma all 7 days of his sequestration, Mikol Chatao Shahayusham, from all the different past Paradumas that were there. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, this is all the same Brisa. This is all the Brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Vim Tomer Aiba, maybe you'll say, Bimiluim Dam. Maybe you'll say, but it was different because by the Miluim, sure they sprinkled Aaron and his sons all 7 days, but there they sprinkled with blood. Here you're sprinkling with water, not a problem. Amrit nichnesumayim tachas dam. We now use water instead of blood. Va'omer, and furthermore it says, kasher asa bayom hazeh, tzi v'hashem la'asos lechaper aleichem. Furthermore, we'll say this is all the braisa supporting Rabbi Yochanan. All the price department. Furthermore, the Torah says, this is the pasuk by Miluim, that as kasher asavay mazeh, as they did on that day, tziva Hashem, God commanded la'asos to do lechaper aleichem, and to atone for them. And the price of dashins la'asos to do elu ma'aseh para, that refers to paraduma, and therefore also what the Torah is doing is including paraduma in the process of Miluim. The same way there was 7 days sequestration preparation for Miluim, the same process applied for preparing the coin for Paraduma as well. Lechaper, to atone. Elu ma'ase Yom Kippurim. That refers to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll say, so that's the end of the Braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. So essentially, we'll say, what happens is it's made up of multiple parts. The first thing that happens in there, which is important, is the word bezos. So with this, what's the this? That Aaron enters into the Kodesh on Yom Kippur, this refers to the laws of Miluim. And just as the laws of Miluim ultimately, again, require sequestration preparation for 7 days prior to the avoda, for one day of avoda, so to Yom Kippur requires 7 days sequestration preparation for one day of avoda. Then I both say, you ask yourself, well, how do you know that bezos includes Yom Kippur? What a random association. That's why you'll see later on the Brice includes the other pasuk by miluim. That's why the Gemara, the Brice also darshins that lechaper of the pasuk of miluim refers to Yom Kippur. So once there's a textual connection between the two, we could assume that the bezos refers to the laws of miluim, and from here Rabbi Yochanan learns that the sequestration preparation of the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom Kippur is what is learned out from the miluim. Rabbi Yochanan takes it one step further that it's not just Yom Kippur, but the sequestration preparation of for Para Aduma is also learned out from miluim. So says the Gemara, the high bezos mi bailei legufei. But 1 second, this whole brisa is predicated on the darshaning of the word bezos. But we need the word bezos just for its simple meaning. Because we will say, what does the Torah say? Bepar ben bakar lechatos v'ayil li'ola. I also remember the Torah says, bezos yavo aron ala kodesh, bepar ben bakar lechatos. Meaning the Torah itself speaks about the sacrificial order. So the bezos, the simple understanding of bezos means what? With these karbanos. How, you make it sound like that word is totally extra and available for drushas, but it's needed. Amri, If the Torah just wanted to speak about the carbon, it could have said bazeh or be'ela. My bezos, I will say bezos is a bigger word and it's a grander word. So why use that word? Shamas mina tarti. It's coming to teach us two things. One, Rabbi Yosef, of course, is the simple meaning of the pasuk, that Aaron has to come into the Kodesh with these karbanos. And meaning number two is what? That bezos refers to the miluim. And it refers to the fact that he could only come into the Kodesh if he's coming on the heels of a sequestration preparation period. My va'omer, what does it mean va'omer? I will say now, again, remember the Braisa, when it quotes this pasuk by miluim, it says va'omer. And it says, why does the Braisa phrase it that way? V'chitema yom kippurim kamahu debay prisha kida ashkechon b'miluim. Because you might have thought the following. Even if you want to make this connection between Yom Kippur and miluim, maybe which Yom Kippur does it apply to? Only the first Yom Kippur, just like what Rabbi Osayn, just like miluim was a one-time event. So maybe the sequestration preparation by Yom Kippur is also only a one-time event. Aval b'Yom Kippurim da'alma lo, but in Yom Kippur in general, we don't have to do the sequestration preparation period for the Kohen Gadol. Inami, or maybe you'll say, Kohen Gadol kamo debay prisha, or maybe you'll say that just like the miluim was only by the first Kohen Gadol, so to what? Maybe sequestration preparation for Yom Kippur also is only by the first Kohen Gadol. Aval Kohen Gadol ba'amalo, but a regular Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol going forward, not. Tashma ka'asher asa. Therefore, the pasuk says, ka'asher asa, as that which was done, as the pasuk says, ka'asher asa b'yom hazeh, tziva Hashem la'asos. Therefore, the pasuk says, just as the same way it was done, God commanded that it be done. So we'll say, therefore, the va'omer is coming to, it's not really necessary, the Gemara is suggesting. I don't really need to bring in that last pasuk, but the one thing that last pasuk does for me is indicate that although miluim was a one-time event, the sequestration preparation paradigm that is gleaned from the miluim was not a one-time event. That is perpetuated in future generations as well. So the Gemara goes back to Tanya Kavos did Reish Lakish. So I'm also now we have a brisa from Reish Lakish. Okay, so what does Reish Lakish say? Moshe ala ba'anan v'nis kaseh ba'anan. Moshe b'nu went up into the cloud and he was enveloped by the cloud. This is by Har Sinai. V'nis kadesh ba'anan. He was sanctified in the cloud. Kadei lekabal Torah liYisrael b'kedusha. In order to be able to receive the Torah for Klal Yisrael in a state of holiness. Shene emar. Because the Pasuk says, Vayishkon kivod Hashem al Har Sinai. So we'll say, watch this. So the Torah says that literally the glory of God rested on the mountain. Zeh haya maisa achar aseres hadibros. So this idea that the cloud rested on top of the mountain, this occurred after the giving of the Ten Commandments. Shehayu tchila ala arboim yom divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Because they were the beginning of the 40 days according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And also we're going to see now one of the interesting machlokes in that come up. We saw it. It's really a Gemara and Shabbos. About machlok in terms of the dates, in terms of how exactly Matan Torah occurred. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili wants to suggest that Lamaisa, Vayishkon Kavod Hashem HaHarsinai, the divine glory coming down, was the episode that occurred after Aseres HaDibros, that were the beginning of the 40 days. Rabbi Kiva says, Vayishkon Kavod Hashem Merosh Chodesh. No, the divine glory resting on the mountain, that occurred right from Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Vayichaseyu Amud Beis. Vayichaseyu Ha'anan Lahar. And the cloud covering the mountain. Vayikra el Moshe v'chol Yisrael omdim. V'lo ba'akosuf Ela lechalik kavod lemoshe. So we'll say again, even though the Torah says Vayikra el Moshe, that God called out to Moshe, the Torah says all of Klal Yisrael was there as well. But yet what? So why is it all of Klal Yisrael is there? All of Klal Yisrael is hearing what God has to say. Then ultimately, why does it only indicate that God is communicating with Moshe? It's what? It's covered to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's covered to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nasser, Rabbi Nasser says, Lo b'hakosuv elo l'marik achila ushtiya shebemeyav l'sumo kemalachi asharis. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is enveloped in the cloud? He's enveloped in the cloud. Why? In order literally that Moshe Rabbeinu's stomach be purged from any food and drink before he ascends to the mountain, in order that what? He be more angelic than man. It's interesting enough, according to Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Nassan is going to say that the cloud was there as a cleansing process for Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Masya ben Charash Omer, Lo b'hakosuf ela la'ayim alov, kedei shetehei Torah nitna be'ema b'reses u'bizeo. So we'll say again, just darshin na matan Torah. So Rabbi Masya ben Charash says, what is the pasuk coming to teach us? The pasuk is coming to teach us, rather, la'ayim alov. Literally, to instill fear in him, that Torah has to be given with ema is fear, reses is quaking, and zia is trepidation. Shene emar, as the pasuk says, ivdu es Hashem biyira, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with yira, vigilu bira'ada, and rejoice with trepidation. My vigilu bira'ada, what does it mean, rejoice with trepidation? Amrav adabar masna, amrav, rav adabar masna, the name of rav, b'makom gila, sham tehei ra'ada. Where there is rejoicing, there must always be trepidation. I'm going to take a look at Rashi for just a moment. La ayim alav, hu nami savala krabiosi aglili, deprisha lemosha ula havdilo mibnei adam, shatachol alav ema, viyoso levado, yavin viyasim levavo li konis lamachan eshchina ve'ema. So also you can remember, everybody's agreeing that what's happening over here is the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, there are 6 days of separation. That we know. We know that because remember, Reish Lakish already mentioned that on Gimel Amud Beis. Remember, that was the pasuk that said, Vayishkon kvod Hashem lahar Sinai, Vayichaseyu ha'anan sheshes yamin. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was separated for 6 days. The Shaya the Gemara is trying to understand is, what was the nature of this separation? So you have, again, you have Rabbi Nosson saying that the nature of the separation was for what? Was to go ahead and to purge Moshe Rabbeinu of all of his food and drink. You have after Rav Masya ben Charash saying that no, the whole point of the separation is that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't be instilled with a sense of fear and a sense of awe. What's the best way to do that? By separating him from the collective. There's always a feeling of safety when you're with the collective. By separating him out from everybody else, that instills within him a certain sense of fear and ultimately a reverence for what it is that's going to occur. And then the Gemara just says, oh, and by the way, Torah only works with a sense of reverence. We'll say, this you should understand, is probably one of the greatest challenges in our current day, because the truth is, societally, we have reverence for very little. Right? Nothing really is revered. Nothing really is untouchable. Everything is subject to our societal cynicism. And the problem is, if you don't approach Torah with some degree of reverence, if you don't approach Torah with some degree of awe, then by definition, it just becomes relegated to another body of knowledge, no different than math, science, literature, or anything else, which are important things, of course, but they're not necessarily holy. As so he's saying that in order for Torah to be kadosh, Torah has to be be'ema, be'reses, be'yira, be'ziya, and that's why he says, if du'as Hashem be'yira, serve HaKadosh Baruch with a sense of yira, with a sense of fear or awe, v'gilu bira'ada, and even when you rejoice, rejoice with trepidation. My v'gilu bira'ada, what does it mean to rejoice in trepidation? Amarav adabar masa, amarav, be'makom gila, wherever there is rejoicing, sham tehei ra'ada. There should be trepidation there as well. Also, if you remember again, this was a major sugya we saw in Maseches Brachas, going back a little while. This was the Holy Gemara talks about the concept of breaking the glass at a wedding has its origins, not Secha L'Chorban, but has its origins, if you remember again, where the Gemara talks about certain, there were wedding feasts that got a little bit out of hand, and one of the Rabbanim, I don't remember who the story was about, broke a glass. The rabbis were actually getting a little bit out of hand. They were partying a little bit too much. So one of the rabbis came, broke a glass, and that sombered the mood. The idea is that simcha has to be tempered. If simcha is not tempered, it could easily lead to frivolity. Frivolity could lead to immorality, and all kinds of negative things could occur. See, even b'mokom gila, sham tehi ra'ada. Even when there is rejoicing, rejoicing itself must always be tempered by some level of reverence and awe for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mamai Kamifli, so both psyches. So now we have all these different opinions. What are they arguing about? Rabbi Yosei Eliyahu Rabbi Akiva Beplukti Dahani Tanoi. So Rabbi Yosei Eliyahu Rabbi Akiva argue the following Machlokes Tanoi. Desanya, Bosa, here we go. Vishisha Bechodesh Nitna Torah L'Yisrael. Tanakama says that the Torah was given to us on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yosei says, no, B'shiva Bo. Not on the 6th, it was on the 7th. Man to Amr B'shisha, the opinion who says that Torah was given on the 6th, B'shisha Shiva, it was given on the 6th, U'B'shiva Allah. And ultimately, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the 7th. Chsiva Yikra Moshe B'mashvi. Man to Amr B'shiva, excuse me, the one who says the Torah was given on the 7th, then what? B'shiva Nitna, U'B'shiva Allah. It was given on the 7th, and therefore what? Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the same day. Now, Rabbi Yosei, watch this. Tichsiva Yikra Moshe B'mashvi. Rabbi Yosei Aglili Savar Kitanakama. Rabbi Yosei Aglili holds like the Tanakama who says, Da'amar B'shisha B'chodesh Nitna Torah. So this is Rabbi Yosei. Rabbi Yosei Aglili holds like the Tanakama who says that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Hilchach Ze Haya Maisa Achar Aseres Adibros. Therefore, Rabbi Yosei, what? This event occurred after the Aseres Adibros. Vayish, so Rabbi Yosei, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Yosei Aglili Savar like the Tanakama. Hilchach Al Karchach Shiva yomim v'yom ha'shvi al karchach achar aseret ha'dibros hayu upirish Moshe shisha yomim u'b'shvi nichnas l'kai baluchas. So we'll say, watch this. Vayishkon kivot ha'shem al har Sinai vayichaseyu ha'anan shishes yomim l'moshe vayikra al Moshe v'yom ha'shvi. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So according to this logic, then what happened this time, in Reish Lakish's model, excuse me, in Rabbi Yosef Lili's model, the luchos are given, excuse me, The Shechina descends on the mountain on Rosh Chodesh. The Luchos are given on the 6th. And then Moshe Rabbeinu has 7 days of separation afterwards. And there was 7 days of separation after the Luchos are given, prior to ascending to Har Sinai. Which then means that in Rabbi Yosei Aglili's model, when does Moshe Rabbeinu ascend to Har Sinai? On the 13th of Sivan. So again, timeline over here. Shechina comes down on Rosh Chodesh. Luchos are given on, Aseres Adibros are given on the 6th. 7 days preparation. And then on the 13th, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Luchos. So the Gemara says, L'kavuli Shar Torah. Di'i sakadait chava yishkon Hashem in Rosh Chodesh. Vayechaseu Aron Lahar. Vayikra el Moshe v'yom ha'shvi, l'kabuli aseres ha'dibros, ha'kabilu lehu mishisha. So it can't be that, again, that Moshe Rabbeinu is being summoned up on the 13th to get the aseres ha'dibros. That can't happen. Why? Because the aseres ha'dibros are already given on the 6th. V'ha istalik anan mishisha. And already on the 6th, after the giving of the aseres ha'dibros, the cloud already departed the mountain. Bless you. That's Rabbi Yosei Aglili. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Savlo Rabbi Yosei. He holds that the Torah was given on the 7th. Now watch this. Now understand what's just happened over here. So the fundamental machlokes in the timeline between Rabbi Yosi Haglili, between Rabbi Yosi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva is in the following. In Rabbi Yosi Haglili's model, the Torah is the Aseres Adibros is being given on the 6th, but then the separation period of Moshe begins on the 6th and extends for 7 days afterwards, which means Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go up to get the Torah until the 13th. According to Rabbi Akiva's model, Rabbi Akiva is like Rabbi Yosi, again, don't get confused, Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva is like Rabbi Yosi, who says that what? The Torah was given on the 7th. Remember, the Shechina comes down on Rosh Chodesh. And in fact, given the separation period begins from Rosh Chodesh for the first 6 days, and then on the 7th day Torah is given, and then what? On the 7th day Moshe Rabbeinu goes up. So the fundamental machlokes over here is two-part machlokes. When does the separation occur? And when does Moshe Rabbeinu go up? And they're linked to each other. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the separation of Moshe Rabbeinu occurred before the Aseres HaDibros. So once from Rosh Chodesh to Vav, and then Aseres Dibros on Zion, and then Moshe goes up on Zion. According to Rabbi Yosi, that's Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yosi Haglili, separation occurs after Aseres Dibros. So Aseres Dibros are given on the 6th, then 7 days of preparation, and then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the 13th. Now the Gemara just says, this actually poses a major calendrical issue. Why? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Bishlam Rabbi Akiva, Haimu Gemishkach Kosla B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz Nishtavra HaLuchos. Now, I will say, there's one thing we know klar, which is what? The Luchos were broken on the 17th of Tammuz. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? Because you have a Mishnah, Meseches Tainis, that tells us that. The Mishnah tells us that the Luchos were broken on the 17th of Tammuz. Now, I will say, that makes sense according to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Why? Esrin va'arba desiva. Because we'll say again, when is Moshe Rabbeinu going up according to Rabbi Akiva? When is he going up? On the 7th. On the 7th. He's going up on the 7th. And therefore, you have 24 days left of Sivan. Vishisar de Tammuz. And you have 16 of Tammuz. Malaluhu arbo'in yomin. Dahava bahar. So that comes. Now we'll say, here's what else we know. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu spends 40 days up on the mountain. See, if he's going up on the 7th of Sivan, that's fine, because then we have 24 days left of Sivan, 16 days left of Tammuz, and then Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on the 17th. That's my 40 days. Ubeshiv Sarbatamus Nachis, he comes down on the 17th of Tammuz, Va'asen, he comes with Tavrinu Leluchos, and he broke the Luchos. El Rabbi Yosef Lili, the Amar Shisha de Prisha, Va'arbo'in Dahar, Ad Esrin Utalas Betamus, Lo Itbar Luchos. But what's the current Rabbi Yosef Lili's model? When is Moshe Rabbeinu coming down? When is he coming down? Essentially, 6 days later. Because remember, I was saying Rabbi Yosef Lili's model, the 6 days of separation are after revelation, are after the Asaras Dibros are received, which means that everything is pushed off by 6 days, which then means that Moshe Rabbeinu would not be. Remember, everybody has to be there 40 days on the mountain. If Moshe Rabbeinu is going up 6 days later, then that means what? He's coming down 6 days later, which then means that according to Reish Lakish's model, excuse me, according to Rabbi Yosef Lili's model, Moshe Rabbeinu is actually coming down on the 23rd of Tammuz. Rabbi Yosef Lili will say, no. Arbo'in dahar bahadi shisha deprisha. No. The 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu spends in the mountain, those include what? Those include the 6 days of sequestration preparation that occurred after the Aseres HaDibros were given. So according to Reish Lakish, excuse me, I don't want to keep saying Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lili, everybody agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down on the 17th of Tammuz. Just according to Yosef Lili, the 6 days of sequestration preparation are included on the 40 days on the mountain, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, where the 6 days of sequestration preparation occurred before Matan Torah, and therefore again he's spending a full 40 days on top of the mountain. Okay, Amar, Vayikra El Moshe. Moshe, so now Rav Asi, the Gemara is making a general statement. Samar says that when the Torah says Vayikra Moshe, God called out to Moshe, Moshe v'chol Yisrael omdin. Even though it makes it sound like God is only speaking to Moshe, and this is by the Sinaitic revelation, by Matan Torah, God in fact is speaking to all of Klal Yisrael, speaking to Moshe, and all of Klal Yisrael is right there. Misayel Rabbi Elazar, Dam Rabbi Elazar, Vayikra al Moshe, when the Torah says that God called out to Moshe, Moshe v'chol Yisrael omdin. Moshe and the entire Jewish people are all present. V'lo ba'akosuv elalachlok lo kavod l'moshe. So also, again, we've run into this a number of different times. If that's the case, that God is indeed speaking to the entire populace, then why does it make it sound like he's only speaking to Moshe? And what's the answer? The answer is to give kavod to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meisvei. So the Gemara raises a kasha. Kol lo. Kol elav. And I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi points out, what are we referring to? Vayishma es hakol medaber elav. So mostly over here, the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Bamidbar, where the Torah says, talking about, I'll read to you the pasuk in its entirety. Ubevo Moshe o'al moy ledaber ito. When Moshe would come to the Omoy, to the Mishkan, to speak with God, Vayishma es hakol medaber elav me'ala kapores. He would ultimately hear the divine voice that emanated from the lid of the Aron. So Rashi says over here, Vayishma es hakol medaber elav. To him, lo hayalo liyacholomar. Because of medaber elav. So the Gemara is pointing out over here that why doesn't the pasuk say Vayishma es hakol medaber lo? Moshe heard the voice speaking to him. Why does it say medaber elav? Now they both mean to him, but lo is a simpler word. So why does it say elav if it could have said lo? Look at Rashi. L'lamdecha she'elav levado haya nimshach hakol. What does it teach us? Elav means, Rabbi Moshe, elav means not just to him, but exclusively to him. That the voice emanated from the lid of the Aron and was exclusively heard by Moshe Rabbeinu. Bless you. U'mishehukam ha-mishkan, levado haya nimshach hakol ba'olam, u'mishehukam ha-mishkan, u'nedaber imo mi'ala kapores, lo haya hakol nishma li'Yisrael. This voice from the Olam Moed was not heard by everyone, it was only heard by Moshe. Go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, call low, call love. The pasuk could have said call low. The voice came to him. Why does the pasuk say call love? Moshe shama v'chol Yisrael lo shamu. What does it come to teach you? It comes to teach us that Moshe heard the divine voice from the Olamoy, and the entire people did not. So we'll say it's a contradiction. Why is it a contradiction? Because just before, and we said that even when it makes it sound like God is only talking to Moshe, in reality, what? The people hear it as well. Now you're telling me that when God speaks to Moshe, it only means Moshe, no one else. Oh, gosh, is that a contradiction? Habi Sinai, habi Olamoy. Everything depends on circumstance. When does all of Klal Yisrael hear the divine voice? Oh, that was Sinaitic revelation, and that was unique. But in terms of an ongoing situation, when God speaks to Moshe from the Ohel Moed, that only Moshe Rabbeinu hears, that Klal Yisrael does not hear that. The other possibility is Lokasha, it's not a contradiction. Habikriya, Habidibor. Oh, this is very interesting. Everything depends, Rabosai, on the verbiage that's used. When Vayikra apparently is like a louder speech. So Vayikra means everyone is hearing God. Dibor, which can be much softer, often only refers to the party that's named as the listener. So if it says Vayikra, as it says by Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael is hearing that also. Vayedaber, only Moshe Rabbeinu is hearing that. Rabbi Zvika contrasts these psukim from the Rabbi Lozer. Amar Rabbi Zvika, Rabbi Lozer, Rami Ksiv. V'lo yochol Moshe lavo al o'amoid. Kishachan alav ha'anam. So we'll say one pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot come into the o'amoid. Why? Because the cloud which represented divine glory rested on top of the ohel. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Vayovo Moshe b'soch ha'anan. And then the Torah says what? That Moshe Rabbeinu came, Moshe Rabbeinu entered into the cloud. Now I will say again, remember, one pasuk is by the Ohel Moed, one pasuk is by Sinaitic revelation by Har Sinai. So by Ohel Moed, the Torah says when the cloud came down, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter. But yet, by Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to enter the cloud. So what's going on over here? Listen to also, listen to how beautiful this is. What does it mean by Yavah Moshe Basocha Anan? That Moshe Rabbeinu went into the Anan. It means, listen to this. Melamed Shetafsa Kodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Ve'aviyu Ba'anan. So I'll say what it means is, so what the Gemara is doing is a little bit of a play on words. Vayavo could also be vocalized as how? Vayaveh. And Vayaveh could mean what? Not he came, but rather he was brought. So the Gemara says, you know what happened to Har Sinai? The Ribono Shel Olam literally pulled, or maybe the better word is guided, Moshe Rabbeinu into the cloud himself. Vayaveh, he was brought in. So the Gemara says, Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, Ne'emar Kan Besoch, V'ne'emar Lahalan Besoch. So mostly what the Gemara is answering such is not a contradiction. Under normal circumstances, you can't enter into the Anan. The Anan is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The difference by Har Sinai was what? Is that God brought Moshe Rabbeinu in. If God brings you in, then you're able to enter. If God does not bring you in, like it was by Ohel Moed, you may not enter. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, Ne'emar Kan Besoch, V'ne'emar Lahalan Besoch. It says here by Har Sinai that Moshe Rabbeinu entered into Besoch, the Anan, and it says over there Besoch, over there is where Rabosai, by the splitting of Yamsu. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael Besoch Hayom. Klal Yisrael went inside the sea. Just like by Kriyas Yam Suf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a pathway for Klal Yisrael in the sea. Listen to how beautiful this is. Dichsiv v'hamayim lohem choma. The water for them was a wall, like miminam mismolam, and there was a path in the middle. Afkan shvil. So to Rav Osai by Har Sinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu enters into the cloud, how does he know he's supposed to enter? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes for him a beautiful pathway with which to enter in and come closer to the Shechina. Vayikra al Moshe vayidaber. So also the Torah says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayikra Moshe Vayidabra Elav Me'o Amoyed Leymor. So also what's interesting over here is it's repetitive. God called out to Moshe and spoke to him saying, Lama Hikdim Kriya L'Dibor. Why does the Torah put Kriya before Dibor? Also listen to this. Limda Torah Derech Eretz. Torah is teaching us a very important form of Derech Eretz. What's the Derech Eretz? Shelo Yomar Adam Davar L'Chavero Ela Imkein Koreo. You should not say something to your friend unless you call out to him first. And we'll say, what does that mean? It's actually a very profound yisod that you shouldn't have a conversation with someone unless of course you first have their attention. So that's what it means. Vayikra el Moshe. God first calls to Moshe. Moshe, are you ready to talk? And then afterwards, Vayidaber. Then he speaks. So also, it's an incredible yisod, by the way, in interpersonal dialogue as well. Sometimes people don't realize that if you want to have a conversation with someone, you have to make sure the other person is ready to have a conversation with you. You know, I can see already. Don't be careful how you use this at home, right? Right. You know, again, sometimes the person, I need to talk, okay, but sometimes I'm not ready to talk. I can't. There's too much else going on. And you know what happens? We all know what happens. That if somebody important wants to have a conversation with you, and you are not holding, then what happens? You're not really best. You're not really paying attention, which of course upsets the other individual, not to be named, incredibly, right? Which then of course sets up a whole vicious cycle. Before I know, you're doing dishes. I'm saying, you know, so meaning the yisod ultimately is it's very powerful. So even if you say a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, are you in the right frame of mind to have a discussion? So here the Gemara says Torah is teaching us derech eretz, that if you want to have a conversation with someone, especially an important conversation, make sure that they're in the frame of mind where they're ready and able to have that particular conversation. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, Amar Rabba, which is Amar Abra Musya Bar Breid Ramasya, which is Ramasya, Rabba, Minayin Lo Omer Davar Lechavero, Shubaval Yomer At Shiomer Lo Lech Amar. Rabba say, how do we know that if somebody tells you something, you should not relay that information, unless, of course, they give you explicit permission to relay information. Also, it's an incredible yisod. The Gemara says, you should always assume that any information given to you is privileged information, unless, of course, a person explicitly tells you to the contrary. So we often think the opposite. We often think that nothing is privileged, unless, of course, what? The person says, please don't share this with anyone. No. You should always assume that whatever somebody tells you is privileged, unless, of course, they give you explicit permission to convey it. How do you know that? Shneimar, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ohel Moed Leimor. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, so God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu from Ohel Moed, Leimor. So I will say, Leimor means what? And here's what's interesting. Take a look. Take a look at that. Rashi Shobaval Yomar, Talmud Lomar Leimor, Lo Emor, Hadvarim. And in Kenosos, so I will say, Sigmar suggests, and this is fascinating, that Leimor is a contraction, Lo Emor. Do not say. Do not tell over. So Leimor is actually suggesting over here that what HaKadosh Baruch was telling Moshe Rabbeinu is, when I tell you something, it's between me and you. And if I want you to relate to someone else, then what? Then I will go. And by the way, interesting enough, we know this because this clears something up because we always sometimes Torah will say, you know, Daber el bnei Yisrael, or it says that Vayomer Hashem Moshe leimor Daber el bnei Yisrael. Why do you need that? If God is telling you to Moshe leimor, saying that, isn't he telling you to Moshe to convey to the populace? No, God is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu interpersonal dialogical etiquette. And what is interpersonal dialogical etiquette? It is that when someone tells you something, that's between the person who's talking and the person who's listening. If they want you to share it with others, then they will explicitly say that. So by Dabra Shema Moshe Leimar, Moshe, we're having a conversation. Oh, Dabra B'nai Yisrael, this you can share, but other things you can't share. So Rabbi Osai, it's amazing. You know, hafach ba v'hafach ba dekula ba. Everything is in Torah. So what comes out from this staff, Rabbi Osai, just 1 second review in the minus minute that we have, which is number one, we're left with our fundamental machlokes of Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of where we learn out sequestration preparation for Yom Kippur, for Para Aduma, and for Yom Kippur. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we're ultimately learning it out from the Miluim. According to Reish Lakish, we're learning it out in sequestration preparation from Har Sinai. Once you started speaking about Har Sinai, so the Gemara says, well, 1 second, this sequestration preparation of Har Sinai now poses a new issue. Because remember, here's what we know. We're going to have 6 days, which then turn into 7 days from Har Sinai. Depending on where those 6 days, 7 days ultimately are placed, throws off the entire timeline. At the end of the year, we're going to end up with the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef, even in terms of the timeline of Matan Torah. Did Matan Torah occur on the 6th? Did it occur on the 7th? Fundamental machlokes. Was separation of Moshe before the Esaros HaDibros, after Esaros HaDibros? Fundamental machlokes. Did Moshe Rabbeinu, the only thing everybody agrees on is what? Okay. That Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the 7th and came down on the 17th. He goes up on the 7th of Sivan and comes down on the 17th of Tammuz. That's the only thing that everybody agrees on. Was separation before before Matan Torah? Was it after Matan Torah? Machlokes. But even if Yodu was after Matan Torah, it doesn't throw off the timeline. Why? Because then the 7-day sequestration preparation will be included in what? In the 40 days. So fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan in terms of where the source of sequestration preparation for Yom Kippur is. Fundamental machlokes Rabbi Yosi Aglili Rabbi Akiva in terms of the timeline of Matan Torah, and Torah teaches us in half of the Kulaba, everything is in the Torah, not just law, but laws of interpersonal etiquette as well. If you want to have a conversation with someone, make sure they are ready and able to engage in meaningful dialogue, and when someone tells you something, understand that it's privilege unless otherwise indicated.